With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Colin Cowherd is in Miami for the All-Star Game. In his place, we're joined today by the president of the UFC, Dana White, and by a couple of fight fans, Super Bowl champion Eric Davis, Chris Broussard, our NBA analyst. Let's start with one of the most anticipated events of the year, the fight between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, who kick off a 4-city international press tour tomorrow right here in Los Angeles. You can catch all of the press conferences live on FS2 this week. You can also catch the weigh-ins and post-fight show here on FS1 and the pre-fight show and prelims on Fox. Now, Dana, in a press conference for the big fight, they're usually entertaining, but you said this tour will be an absolute S show. You can say the S word. I probably can't. Shanks is probably watching. I'll get in trouble. But are you worried at all that the circus could overshadow and perhaps diminish the fight game in any way?
No, this thing is what it is. So the press asked me on Saturday, you know, what's the press conference going to be like? And I said, it's going to be an absolute show. There's going to start with a rap act, and then there was going to be a lot of speeches and things like this. If you ever watch the way that I do a press conference, I literally roll out, thanks for coming, Los Angeles, good to have you here. Who has the first question? Let's get this thing going. Because at the end of the day, in my opinion, it's all about the media asking questions. That's what we're there to do. But, you know, there's a lot of ego. A lot of ego involved in these press conferences that were going on here. So we'll see how this thing plays out.
We've seen Conor in these press conferences almost getting into fights with the opponents. How often does he get in an opponent's head and it affect the fight in MMA? And do you think he can do that to Mayweather?
Mayweather is very, very poised and controlled. And, you know, Mayweather's a really smart guy. As I got into this deal, he's surrounded by a lot of smart people, too, which made it much easier to get the deal done than I thought it would. I deal with a lot of people who think they're smart, but they're not. And that makes it a lot harder.
I guess I'm a little surprised you're talking positively.
I always respected Floyd. Floyd and I have had our moments in the public, you know, here and there. But I've always respected Floyd. And Al Haymon is a very, very smart guy. Very smart guy. It was actually a pleasure doing business with him. Conor is a madman. You know, Conor is a madman. Conor is very, he's going to let Floyd know, you know, what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And everybody's been saying to me this whole time, do you think that Conor can really beat Floyd Mayweather? Pacquiao just got beat by a school teacher. Okay? So, yeah, I think that's
Conor. Really do? Okay, that's where I was going to go.
That beat Pacquiao.
Pacquiao won, but I agree.
I agree with that, too. But he won. But Pacquiao did not win.
Having your, you know, coming from a boxing background and understanding the training and what it takes to go in and have to fight Mayweather, you've seen the McGregor tape that he's putting out there, the way he's been training. Do you really think he has a realistic chance?
I stopped doubting Conor McGregor a long time ago because we brought this kid in. We felt that he, I said, listen, I told my partner Lorenzo Fertitta at the time, I said, I don't know if this kid can fight, but if he can even throw a punch, he's going to be a huge superstar. Obviously, he can fight, and obviously, he can throw a punch. On the world tour for Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor was saying, I will finish this guy in the first round. This is the greatest 145-pounder ever, the only 145-pound champion ever in UFC history. Conor knocked him out in 13 seconds. So last night, I landed at LAX, and Conor landed at the same time from Ireland. We both landed at the same time, and I was waiting for him to get out of the plane. He gets off. Flight from Ireland, looks like he just walked out, was just fitted at Armani, walks off the plane, you know, everything's, you know, and he says, I will knock this man out within four rounds.
You launched the UFC. You launched the UFC, and it's an unbelievable journey what the UFC has become. Is it a good thing, bad thing? Did you ever imagine the biggest event you might be associated with isn't a MMA fight, it's a boxing match with the undefeated Floyd Mayweather. Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that this is where the UFC would land?
No, of course not. But unlike other promoters out there who like to go around and on everybody else's fights, I think this is good for combat sports. I think this is a good fight for combat sports. Other people out there, Oscar De La Hoya, are saying that this thing will be bad for boxing. Yet, he wanted to do Canelo versus McGregor. Let's put that out there. This is great for combat sports. It's like when Floyd and Manny had that huge fight and pulled that massive number. I look at that. First of all, you look at it and you go, good for them, number one. Number two, that shows me the bar. That shows me where the bar can be set with the right fight at the right place at the right time.
Lee, hold on. You know the history of combat sports. A lot of it has been based on the racial dynamic, black versus white. Let's speak appropriately, honestly, transparently. This fight, if it were two white guys or two black guys, could it happen? Could it be a big deal?
I'm going to tell you something right now. So do you remember when Jerry Cooney was fighting Larry Holmes?
Absolutely.
And everybody was calling Jerry Cooney the great white hype.
Yep. Yes.
Not true. What it was the Irish thing. The Irish thing is so big. And me and my partner Lorenzo, when we first met Conor McGregor, and we felt it with him. We felt that energy and that buzz with him within the Irish community. If you look at Boston, New York, Chicago, and many others, Kansas City and San Francisco and all these different countries, Savannah, Georgia, places you would never imagine where these huge St. Patrick's Day parades happen. Even when we went up with Conor up, and that's why we added Toronto in, because I told Heyman and Mayweather, I said, you know, you can't believe how many Irish are in Canada, too. It's the Irish thing. The Irish thing is big. And yes, you have an African-American who is arguably the greatest of all time against an, you know, off-the-charts, charismatic, incredibly hard-punching Irish fighter. It's huge.
All right, you guys, let's say you break the bank financially, which it looks like you're going to. Could you ever see so much money being made that Floyd would agree to a rematch in the octagon?
Well, here's two things. When we were talking earlier about when you guys were both saying, do you believe he can do it? Can you believe he can do it? How he's training in boxing, this is a fight. When two men get in there and they start throwing punches, anything is possible. Floyd will be 41 years old this year. Conor McGregor is 28. Conor McGregor is a southpaw. Floyd, you know, if there is a kink in that armor, southpaws have been it. Conor McGregor hits like a truck. Floyd Mayweather does not. So anything is possible in this fight. Before we talk about a rematch or any of that kind of crazy stuff, we got to see how this fight plays out. What kind of a fight is it? You know, am I saying that this is going to be the greatest boxing match in the history of the world? I am not.
You just hear the chaos.
It might be a tango.
Two men.
It might be a
two
square
men are
dance.
Going in. They're going to fight, and we'll see what happens.
No, he is not getting in the octagon.
No, I'll answer for you.
He won't do that.
Oh, did you ask me that? No, I didn't hear that. No. He will not. Listen, when this thing first started, I said, I'll tell you what. First round will be boxing. Second round, he'll only be able to kick and use elbows. They don't want nothing to do with that.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood, and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They talk to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips, brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
UFC 214, John Jones, Daniel Cormier. You guys are not shying away from Jones's background and problems. Face your demons or something, I think, is a slogan. Can John Jones still be the face of UFC?
So the public, especially in the fight game, but I think in any sports, I think that the public is very forgiving. If you come back and you redeem yourself and you do the right things, and I do think it's possible for John Jones, too. The question is, can John Jones overcome his demons, and can he come back and be the talent that he was, and the many people calling him possibly the greatest talent to ever set foot in the octagon?
Have you spent much time with him recently and to kind of get where he's at, where his mind is at and things like that?
John Jones and I have not spoken since the last time he pulled out of the fight and all that stuff happened. We have not spoken. I've been very public and very vocal about how I felt about it. Listen, if you look at all those things that led up to that, every one of those court appearances, I was there. You know, I flew down to Albuquerque with my partner. We sat in court. We've supported him his entire career since the day he started in this sport. And he and I have not spoke since.
Do you need him? Does the sport need him? Because the largest thing that's happening right now in the sport is in the boxing ring.
Well, let me put it this way. Everybody, for years now, people were saying to me back in the old days, what are you going to do when Chuck Liddell retires? What are you going to do when Anderson Silva retires? What are you going to do when this guy retires? I've been hearing that my whole life. Do we need John Jones? I think we do need John Jones. You know, John Jones is possibly one of the greatest ever. And personally, as a fight fan, I want John Jones. I want to see John Jones continue his legacy. But as far as the business goes, you know, there's always guys going to come and go in any sport, not just this one. But I would like to see John Jones do well.
I got a better question for you. What are you going to do when Ronda Rousey gets exposed and knocked out? What are you going to do with the women's division? Cyborg is the best female fighter. Are you finally going to show her some love? You blocked her on Instagram. Are you going to show Cyborg the love that she deserves?
First of all, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I did not block her on Instagram.
Sure.
Yeah,
one of your assistants.
I was hacked. No, she was never blocked. You want to hear what's crazy? So that night when they called me out on did you block her, I started looking. I couldn't pull her up. She blocked me. I was actually blocked by her. I don't know if she did it up by mistake or what the deal was, but I did not block her. There are a lot of things that have been that we haven't done exactly the right way when it comes to Cyborg.
Thank you.
I admit it. And yes, she's fighting in Anaheim on the John Jones Cormier card. We are showing her love, and you know, hopefully we can get this relationship fixed with her.
All right,
and you apparently.
Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series. That's starting where? How? What is this?
It starts tomorrow night on UFC Fight Pass. Lately, I've been traveling out on the road, going out and you know, looking at all the young up and coming talent. I love it. So we're gonna actually do it in the Ultimate Fighter Gym. No fans, no crates. It's one of the coolest places to watch a fight, and starts tomorrow night, and I'm pumped about it. We're actually, so I've been friends with Snoop for a long time. I'm sure you guys know him too. Dang, one of the greatest human beings ever, and he's always wanted to. He's like always telling me he wants to commentate fights. One of the hardest jobs ever to commentate fights. So on this, we have you can opt in to listen to Snoop. Snoop will be calling the fights in there, too. So you can opt in to listen. It's called Snoopcast. Yeah, so it's cool to work with him, too. It'll be fun.
Dana, thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for showing Cyborg some love, finally. I love the way Travis Brown's lost 4 in a row ever since Ronda Rousey lost. Maybe relationships aren't good for UFC.
Yeah, it might be true.
All right, welcome back. Eric Davis and Chris Broussard are back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Let's move to James Harden, who just signed a massive $228 million contract extension, making him the highest paid player in NBA history this past week. NFL players have had some strong reactions to the recent spate of NBA mega deals. Now former defensive lineman Terrence Knighton, Pot Roast, has added his voice to the conversation, tweeting, quote, Aaron Rodgers should be making more than James Harden. Look, man, teachers should be making more than all of us. Teachers should be making more than NFL and NBA players.
Agree.
My mother, for putting up with me for 50 years, should make more than anybody in the world.
Then I should be getting a raise. Keep going.
So, Terrence has to, and NFL players are going to have to accept, they chose the football profession, 53-man rosters, big coaching staffs, big executive and front office staffs, and all of that. They play 16 games a year. He's got to understand the lane he's in and quit comparing himself to James Harden. They're trying to feed 53 guys in the NFL, and teams are feeding 12 to 15 guys in the NBA.
See, for me, that's the biggest difference right there. In the league, you're dealing with a 53-man roster, 61 if you add all the practice squad guys. But should they stop complaining? Absolutely not. Put the pressure on your sport, your organization, your PA, the NFLPA, to represent you in a manner to where you get what you deserve and what you negotiate. I like how you put that. Another thing for me is it's not going to happen until one of these quarterbacks in this league stands up and says, you know what? I'm going for a fully guaranteed deal. It's not going to be the mega buster number. It's going to be a 3-year, 4-year, $65, $70 million.
Well, Brady already did that.
Guaranteed, but they need more to do it, well, to where all these contracts now become guaranteed. That's the issue.
Now, but you said, I agree with a lot that you're saying, but you said they should continue to make noise. No, you can't make noise because you can't win this in public opinion. In the court of public opinion, you know, you're in total agreement, but you cannot get the guy at the cashier at the supermarket
I believe you can say
that this guy deserves more money when he's making millions of dollars. You can't look at You can't look at Aaron Rodgers.
Athletes to athletes. But, they're not comparing them to school teachers, with all due respect.
No.
The average person. The NFL makes more than twice as much
absolutely,
as the NBA. It's not even close.
I get what you're saying, but how are you going to get some? Aaron Rodgers right now, you're saying Aaron Rodgers deserves more money. Okay, he's making he's on a $110 million extension right now. It's very hard to get the average person to feel sorry for him.
Bring up an average player.
But
who's risking his health.
I get all that. I get that.
You ain't doing that in the NBA.
I understand all of that, but now it goes back to the other part that I said. Making noise like this, sending out tweets, yelling, doing all that, it's not going to change a thing. You know why basketball is in that situation? Why baseball is in that situation? There you go. They negotiated themselves into a position in which they can get those guaranteed contracts. That's what you have to do. You're not going to ask for it on Twitter.
Making noise, sounding the alarms, does put pressure on the Players Association. And look, I get the 53-man roster versus 15 guys. Here's what I would like to see, though, in the NFL. You can't guarantee 53 contracts per team. But there should be some type of clause, and I'm not saying these should be the stipulations, but something like if you make a Pro Bowl twice, or if you start for 3 straight years or something, your contract's guaranteed. For star players, starters in this league, not to have guaranteed contracts is ridiculous.
The only way it's going to happen.
The only way it's going to happen is
if the guys stop going for the Monopoly money. You're just going to have to take less money.
It is not Monopoly money. The NBA is Monopoly money.
Hold on. In the NFL, it's Monopoly money.
No, he's making a different point, Chris.
In the NFL, it's Monopoly money. In the NFL, the only thing, as you said, you're guaranteed money. I had this conversation with Von Miller. When Von Miller was coming out, and I asked Von this, because right now we saw the contract that he signed. He signed a $140-something million contract. I said, Von, would you, instead of doing it, he was wanting his $70 million. I said, how about instead of getting that all that on the back end, real money, go in and say, give me $90 million guaranteed. Guaranteed.
That's what has to happen.
That would be better.
Instead of having the monopoly where they can cut you.
That's what has to happen.
I want to jump in and just make one point, Chris. Having covered the NFL my entire career and then in Kansas City, I agree with Eric's point about when you deal with the average season ticket holder in the NFL, they're not hearing this. Because you would be shocked. In the NBA is kind of, it's corporate and elitist. The bread and butter guys in the NFL season ticket base, the guys that are, they're out in the parking lot tailgating, these guys are working class who, instead of having a second car or going on some vacation,
yes,
their entertainment money is set aside. We're going to tailgate 8 times a year.
True.
We're going to go to these games. And they're just not... Somebody that's making $100 million and they mad because they're not making James Harden $200
million? I get it. All I'm saying is I think average people are looking... They may not feel sorry for NFL players, but they are looking at it saying, how are the NBA players getting that much more?
But for me, it's... The issue started... The CBA that's currently in place right now, it's the players' fault. Yeah. Because they agreed to that CBA. I was there when we agreed to it. Foolish, because what guys were doing, they were worried about the young guy coming in, getting all this money and hadn't proven himself. Forget that. When it's your turn, you're going. They set the bar. Stop worrying. That's the problem with so many of these young guys. They're constantly worried about what you're making and you're making and you're making. Just wait your turn and you'll be up. That's what these NBA guys are doing. They're just waiting their turn. You don't hear them complaining. They're saying, good job. Keep going.
To Las Vegas, where Lonzo Ball had an up-and-down opening weekend in the NBA Summer League. The most hyped rookie in years was horrible in his debut on Friday, shooting just 2-for-15. But Lonzo came back on Saturday, posting a triple-double and putting on a show with his passing. All right, Lonzo's not going to play tonight. He's being held off, I think, soreness in the groin area or something like that. He's not going to play. The first rest. Two games, to me, he's already rested.
They're already rested. Rest.
Summer League.
They really are. This is rest.
They're getting ready for the NBA. listen, I would be apprehensive if I were, you know, because I think the question is, were you encouraged by what you saw in these first two games? I would be apprehensive. I think his shot is going to be a problem. I think he's, you know, made two of 16
three-pointers.
His shooting percentage is not that good. He looked like a tall Rajon Rondo to me. And I don't mean that Rajon Rondo was a very good player and a very effective player on some good Boston teams, but all the hype, I'm a little bit apprehensive about, are we going to see his jersey in the rafters or whatever? I would be apprehensive based off of what I saw these first two games.
You know what I saw was a guy that was learning to play that first game. I think it was one of the few times he's been on the floor where he realized he wasn't the best person on the floor. And because Brandon Ingram looked clearly like the best player out there in what he was doing in that first game. And I think Lonzo was out trying to push and do all these things. All the hype has said he's this great passer. He's doing all these things. He'd go all the way to the rack and try to make this great pass instead of just playing the game. I think that in the next game he came out, and I think, okay, now I'm going to facilitate. I'm going to do what I am accustomed to doing. I'm going to let these other really good ball players around me do their thing. And I think that's more of the guy that you're going to see moving on. I don't think he is going to be that guy that's going to take over a game with
LaRondo,
his shot.
LaRondo.
I think he'll be a better scorer, LaRondo, but I don't think he's going to be able to take over the game with his shot. But I think he is going to be so involved within the game that what you saw in that second one, it is going to be more of that, where it's going to be contagious and the other guys will play better.
I get where you're going with Rondo, but here's the difference. Because, you know, they're not going to take over the game scoring. They're great assist guys. But here is the difference. Rondo over dribbled. And that was a complaint about him from other teammates. Like, he would dribble, so he gets the assist so somebody else doesn't get it. Stat padding. Whether it's true or not, that's what players said, and he did over dribble. Lonzo is pushed. The difference between him and most other point guards is he will pass ahead. And guys are going to love playing with him. And the thing is, if he becomes a star, which I think he can, Brandon Ingram's going to be a star. He's now you got two stars, and Ingram doesn't have to worry about competing with Lonzo. Because Lonzo's not trying to outscore him. He's just trying to get Ingram off. That's what he does. And you saw the Lakers making the extra pass, overpassing even. That unselfishness is contagious. So I liked what I saw from
him. I do too. And for me, why it's encouraging to the Lakers is because when you look, and before I continue my statement, I am not comparing him to Magic. But with Magic being right there looking down on him and being in that facility every day with him, we're going to see a Magic-esque Lonzo Ball. Why? He's not a great – I don't care what you look at, he's not a great shooter. In my opinion, it's going to be hard for him to get that shot off the way he releases the ball. He doesn't care about that. Why? Because he's going to push the tempo. Like you mentioned, when they get the rebound, they outlet to him, his first look is all the way down the court. Everybody loves that. Why? Because I know this guy, even though he can be a star – he's going to be unselfish. He's going to get me off before he even tries to get off. The problem that we have with a LeBron James is we know he can score, so it's like, why don't you take over a game? We're never going to wait for a Lonzo Ball to take over a game. Why? Because that's not his game. As long as he continues to do what Magic did with Kareem, with all those guys around him, he never had to be that guy. Now, they wanted him to eventually evolve into that guy, and he had to, but he... early on, he never had to do it.
Chris, answer me this. Riddle me this. He's not playing tonight. Isn't De'Aaron Fox playing tonight?
I'm not sure yet if Fox is. But I'll say this. I think it's more on the team in this case. Because I've been to summer leagues in the past where guys, they sit guys out games. Ben Simmons sat out some games.
I see where you're going.
I get where you're going.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. Gave him 40.
I see where you're going.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I knew that.
Somebody gave you 40?
Look,
and you don't want to be out
go
there?
Go to the team and say, I want to play. I get it. And that's what some people I've talked to have said. I don't see that enthusiasm. You know, Magic had that enthusiasm absolutely when he played. You don't see that with Ball. I think the more apt comparison for Ball is Kidd. He's going to be like Jason Kidd, which is great. That's a Hall of Fame.
Jason Kidd, a competitor. Every competitor I know.
He wasn't vocal, though.
Somebody give me 40. I'm going back out there and going to try to get him down to about 35 or something.
He probably would. Fox probably would put up much better numbers tonight if they did go against each other. Because Ball's never going to. I think he can settle into being a 17-point, 11-assist guy when he's in his prime, which is great. But he's not going to be that guy to shake you up with the dribble.
No, that's not his
game. I haven't seen him take one mid-range jumper. I think he's going to have to work on that. I know it's hard with that.
Look. I'm just going to say, a lot of times I blast off into you guys, but you come back every day and you still do the show. All right, welcome back. Chris Broussard and Jason McIntyre are back. Let's move to the Big Three, where Week 3 action tips off tonight from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now one of the league's best players, Steven Jackson, is making some bold claims about what a team of Big Three All-Stars could accomplish.
I honestly feel if you got the top 10 guys here, we can be the actual NBA team. So not just the summer league, we'll be the actual NBA team. And that's no gas. I wouldn't smile. Yeah, I'm dead serious.
I agree.
Love Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
Action Jackson. Love Steven Jackson. This is a bad strategy, though. It's not the right play. This is 3-on-3 half-court basketball. This has nothing to do with the NBA. We don't need analogies to NBA players. This would be like women's tennis comparing itself to men's tennis. It's two different sports. You know, the much harder serves in men's, shorter volleys, longer volleys in women's, softer serve. It's an enjoyable product, and so it's not about whether these guys can compete against NBA players. It's whether or not these guys can put on an entertaining product playing 3-on-3 basketball. Steven Jackson, not the greatest strategy here.
Now, see, I think you're dead on it. You don't need – it's like comparing you remember the USFL?
Yeah.
That fell? And XFL football that failed? Why? Because they compared themselves to a sport that everyone's accustomed to seeing. You know how the NFL is played. You see the best athletes play it. So now when you start comparing yourself to them, the product doesn't look the same. Arena football, it's around. It works. Why? Completely different game. They don't try to make the rules like it. They don't play it like regular football. It's a different game. You need to make the big three a different game. Let the stars of this game be the stars of that game and not try to compare them to the NBA players.
I agree with you guys. However, in today's society, anything that creates noise, right, is good for you. You know, like them saying, I think we can beat NBA teams. You have some foolish fans out there that might think, you know what? AI, Chauncey, they might.
Wait,
I mean,
have you seen that Nets roster, Chris? Come on.
I mean, I love Jack like we all do. There is no way they could compete. I think the appropriate question was the Summer League team. Could they be the Summer League team? And they might be them in intelligence and basketball IQ. But an NBA team,
yeah,
come on,
they
would run them off.
We can beat a Summer League team. That's not buzzy enough to get on shows like this. I got to take you guys back over a decade when I started the blog, The Big Lead. You know what we did right out of the gate? We swung up at the media, at the big boys. I think you guys were at ESPN
still
at the time.
Do.
Yeah, you might have remembered it a little bit. But that's how you get traction. You start, you create some buzz and generate some interest and, you know, get some headway going. And all of a sudden, wow, people are talking about you. I actually believe, Chris, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
It
would probably
minutes.
Be over, yes, you're right.
The game never needs to
but
happen.
You, don't tell
that,
me you wouldn't watch
destroy,
it.
That would destroy the big three.
What do you
No, it's a three-on-three league. I love your arena league analogy. It's a different sport, a different discipline. Stay there. That's a terrific product. All right, remember to check out the Big Three action tonight at 8 Eastern right here on FS1.